Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CACHEFLY.com. CashFly. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte, episode 53 for July 5th, 2008. Homeschooling. Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit audible.com/monkeys. And by listeners like you. Thanks for your donations. It's time for Jumping Monkeys, my favorite show, and it has been a long time. Ms. Megan Maroney, we taped ahead because you went to where? Cape Cod?
I went to Cape Cod, yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so cool.
Beautiful Cape Cod, big family vacation, ate lots of lobster.
Oh, did you?
Yes, we did.
That sounds so great.
Yeah.
That sounds like the best vacation ever.
How
many? When you say big, how many?
There were about 30. At the most, there were about 30 or 35 people.
And immediate, your side of the family? Or?
Yeah, it was all my grandfather's family, because we went out there and brought his ashes out there them on the beach.
That's
the beaches
right.
that he used to go with my grandmother.
Oh,
so. But don't tell
wonderful.
Anyone, because I'm pretty sure that's illegal. To do.
Okay, we won't tell a soul.
Don't tell a soul.
No one will ever know what you've done.
Yes, but it was so nice, and you know, it would have been wonderful for him to be there, and
yeah,
he was.
Yeah, well, he was, and I think that's a great boy. I can't think of a better way to get honored than to have your family gather and do that. I think that's really wonderful.
Yeah,
that sounds
it was
wonderful.
Great. It
yeah.
was fantastic.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk to Dana Loesch. She is the author.
L-O-E-S-C-H. Is that how you say it?
That's how you say it, but it's pronounced Lash. And she is the author of the popular blog Momologues. She's a homeschooler, so we're going to talk about homeschooling.
Is that what Momologues is about primarily?
It's mostly just about her, but she as a homeschooling mom, there's a lot of information about that. But she's just funny, and she's a writer. She used to be a journalist for the St. Louis Dispatch.
Funny.
And she has a radio show on Fox, I think.
We've had a lot of people ask us to do homeschooling stuff, so I think it's
yeah. So we're going to talk to her about all those things,
and she's going to be speaking at Blogger next month.
Yes,
are you going to go? You should go to that. You're a her.
I am a her, and it is just in San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean this time it's easy.
I know. I'm just too shy for things like that.
Really, you're not going to do that?
I don't think so. No.
Wow.
No.
Wow. I had no idea you were that shy.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not internet shy or or internet radio shy. But
getting up in front of a group of people is a tough thing.
Well, I don't know. Just, yeah, I might sneak in there and, you know, just, I don't know, just meeting all those people that you read their stuff all the time. I think it'd be intimidating.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we'll see. Maybe. You never know.
MAMALOGUS.com, Momologues, and we'll talk to her in just a little bit. What else are we going to
I first wanted to remind people they could call us.
You're really hot on getting these phone calls.
I love
now.
To hear people's voices.
I
love
too.
To hear feedback from people, and I think it's great. And our number is 707-981-4602. But the other way you can talk to us is I have a call me button on jumpingmonkeys.com.
Did you put it in?
I put it in. So all you have to do is go there. Put your phone number in there. I don't save your phone number. It's a Grand Central service, and they don't save your phone
That's
number.
That's Google. You know Google doesn't care about your... They're
they already have
privacy.
All your information.
They know it. They don't need anything.
And then it'll automatically call you. You still don't have to talk to anybody. It'll just play the message when you answer the phone, our message, and then you leave a message for us, and we'll play it on the show.
Wow. I entered Jumping Monkeys. That just shows you how much I've been doing this, and it went to Audible Kids.
Really?
Yeah. Because there's Jumping Monkeys in the Audible Kids URL.
Oh.
Hey, I did an Audible Kids recording, you know.
You did?
I did.
What book?
Well, it's not out yet, but it's going to be Little Golden Riding Hood.
Oh.
Well, you say that as if you don't.
I don't know that story.
Well, they couldn't afford Little Red Riding Hood. It was a little expensive. So they got Little Golden Riding Hood.
Is it going to cost money? Or is
no,
it
I think we're going to give it away.
Oh, cool.
That's a short. A couple of things. It had to be short.
Uh-huh.
Because I, only had it was just there for a little while.
Yeah.
And it had to be public domain. Nobody, you know, they didn't want to pay for rights or talk to a publisher and explain who I am and why. So they found something. Oh. So that's great.
So how was your trip to, where is Audible?
In Newark, lovely Newark, New Jersey.
And you were there for how long?
A few hours. It was a quick flight. I went overnight and a red eye, and then I talked to them, and it was great. We had a wonderful time. Oh, they're just taking the trash out, don't they?
They always like to take the trash
it's
out.
It's like General Patton rolling the tanks by our window here. Holy cow.
So I also wanted to say, a few episodes ago, we talked about Baby Plays, the service that rents toys to you. And then you give them back.
As opposed to Baby Playas, the rap artist.
Not Baby Playas. Baby Plays, B-A-B-Y-P-L-A-Y-S. And we had a disgruntled customer write in to us, and we read it. And then I talked to the founder of the company, and she said, let me send you some of the toys and see, you know, so you can see for yourself.
Did they come?
They did. Yeah.
And
they're have fantastic.
Have you been playing with them?
I haven't, but my kids have. Yeah? I've been playing with them, actually. But she sent me about 3 or 4 toys, and they were all really cool, like a spaceship that speaks different languages.
Oh,
and,
neat.
You know, different, and a little play and learn laptop, which the kids are addicted to. We haven't had any kind of toy like that before, and it's fascinating to see how, like, they just can't get off of it.
You kept them away from that kind of electronic stuff?
Yeah, a lot of it. Yeah, we don't have a lot of those toys and things. But, you know, it's interesting how quick, you know, Annabella was to learn how to play the video games on there.
Right.
And there's phonics and things. So I'll actually be kind of relieved to give that one back. There's a lot of fights about it.
Yeah. Really?
But it is an interesting service.
It's too popular. You can have a toy that is too popular.
Yes, yeah.
Wow.
It's an interesting service, but it does... it is a little bit nerve-wracking for me to make sure that I don't lose any of the parts or break them or anything like that.
Yeah, because you know you have to give them back.
Yeah,
you're not. This is a temporary loan.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's a good teaching tool to have. You know, the kids say these aren't ours. We have to be careful of them.
Right.
Just like the library books. And
right.
So we'll see. They have to be back.
Are they used to library books? They are.
They are.
They do a lot of library
books,
so they could probably figure that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's neat.
Mm-hmm.
So good. So you give a thumbs up then.
I do. So now we're going to do the spend, save, give. One way to spend your money, one way to save money, and one way to give back.
I've got my spending finger ready.
You do? Okay, here.
Something to buy.
Here you go.
What is this?
This is Peds.
This is cute. So this is like a Tamagotchi kind of
a
thing.
Yeah, but it's a pedometer.
Oh, I get it.
So,
but it has a little face on it.
It does have a little face on it. And it is... I think this is interesting. This is the first kind of social networking type thing that I think
You took 52 steps to get here?
That's how far it took me to get there. So it's a little pedometer for kids, and then they can go online to MyPeds, MyPEDZ, and log in and, you know, just sort of the same thing like Webkinz. You enter in the code of your pet, and then you can do challenges and log
on to the website. Oh, I think that's a really great idea.
So it's the idea. I mean, I was saying, you know, our kids are going to be doing social networking. You know, we just have to accept that. But this combines being active.
Yeah.
And, you know, having challenges. So I thought that was a really neat thing.
$13. That's not
$13 plus shipping.
Does that include the PEDS website membership and all that stuff?
Yes. Yes, it does. I'm pretty sure, actually. I didn't see anything about money when I went on there.
That's really cool. Well, I think, I mean, it should. I mean, why, you know, that's a lot of, already you've got. They got your money.
Right.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. Now, I mean...
For kids ages 5 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
So you, mom has to kind of say yes to this, right?
Right, yeah.
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 Yeah. That's really...
Yeah, so...
I think that's great.
Yeah, a little pedometer for kids. Pets.
Always looking for ways to make kids want to do exercise and be health-oriented, and that's a great solution.
Yeah, and I've only had this for about a week, so it does feel...
52 steps in a week isn't anything to be ashamed of.
No. You also can... It's sort of easily reset. Like, one button is the mode, so you can...
Oh, you press the
calories, the left... And miles, you've gone, calories, all that thing. The other side is just
neat.
Erases everything. So
you're supposed to do, what is it? It's like 10,000 steps a day?
I don't know.
I guess something like that.
Did you know that like in the Senate, they had a little contest where they all wore pedometers? And guess what office won? Who walked the most?
Who walked the most? The pages?
No, it was like by state.
Oh, I don't know. Which state walked
Alaska.
The most? You're supposed to say, I don't know about Alaska.
I don't know about Alaska. Alaska. And then I heard this on NPR, and they were kind of implying that some people might have cheated and put their pedometers on their dogs.
Oh. And yeah, because Is Mr. Tubbs still the senator from there?
I don't know who the guy was, but that doesn't sound...
Ted Stevens was the senator from Alaska.
It might, but he's not anymore?
I don't know.
I think it was Ted Stevens' office.
Because Ted's... Well, he's not exactly what I would call a...
Well, he's like the oldest person, I think, one of the oldest people in the Senate, but it wasn't just him.
It's
it
his
was
whole
everyone.
Office,
and he said
staff.
He has a lot of young people that come from Alaska and walk around.
Yeah,
Alaska
no, I wouldn't make sense. Yeah. I wouldn't besmirch that record. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They put him on their dogs. Dog gate. Love it.
All right. So now we get to the save. We've talked about the Tessie and Tab Reading Club. And they emailed me the other day, and they wanted to offer a discount to Jumping Monkeys listeners.
Tell us about Tessie and Tab.
Tessie and Tab is a reading club where you get a magazine twice a month. It's a little tiny magazine for preschoolers. And we got it for a while, and I really enjoyed it.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And it's good. It's a nice gift.
Do they still are there magazines like Stone Soup still out there?
Yeah, that's still around. And
Highlights for Children. Mm-hmm, remember that? Mm-hmm. The dentist's office always had that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those magazines are around. This is a little smaller, and it's just for kids. And
it's little,
has their
little
name,
kids.
Yeah. On it. And it's a, remember we, it's done by the sister of the Smile, Jean from Smile on My Mac.
Oh, yeah. So they're doing well, it sounds like.
Yeah. And so if you enter Jump 2 Free, Jump number 2 Free in the source code box when you place your order,
Jump
you'll get
to Free.
One free month. That's 2 free issues.
There we go. Thank you, Tessie and Tab.
Yes. And Jean's sister, Judy, said she will personally lick all the envelopes so that they will arrive the next day.
That's
for
a
you,
very
Jumping
good
listeners.
Deal.
So TessieandTab.com, that offer expires on July 31st.
Personally
licked. She will personally lick them.
Personally licked envelopes.
Okay, now the give. Have you heard of global giving?
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Global giving.
It's
charity.
It's another one of those sites that will allow you to pick the charity and see the results.
I like that.
So it's globalgiving.com. And I think this
I have seen this. Yeah, this is a great project, I think. Yeah.
It is interesting, especially something to do with your kids, to get them to introduce them to this kind of charity.
Yeah.
And because they can really choose what they want to give to. It's amazing what small things could do. There was an op-ed piece in the New York Times today about a girl who, like a church group who gave a goat to this family in Uganda, and it had twins, and then it...
Wow.
And she, you know, they were raised on the milk, and they sold them. And then she ended up getting a scholarship to a boarding school in Massachusetts and just graduated from Connecticut College.
What a difference.
Yeah. A goat.
A goat makes.
What a difference a goat makes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like this when you're doing it with your kids, because I think it's really important if you're doing the spend, save, give, that you give them something to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what, because if it's too abstract, they don't get what they're contributing to.
Yeah. Yeah, Annabella just got 2 teeth pulled, and the tooth fairy came.
Did she give teeth to the poor children in Africa who have no teeth?
No, but she got $2.50 for each tooth, and she wanted to spend all her $5.
Is that the going rate for a tooth fairy?
I don't know what the going rate is. I think my sister told me that my nephew got $20.
I was going to say $2.50 sounds
a little cheap.
I was going to say it sounds cheap. A little low.
Yeah, I got a quarter when I was. Good. I think, but I've heard a lot more. And we were going to,
It was a dime or something when I was a kid.
Yeah. And then I tried to convince her she had to, she could spend a third and save a third and give away a third. And she was just like, what are you talking about? So Marco was like, how about we save half and spend half?
That's easier.
So she wanted to go to Long's.
She's too little to know what a third is.
No, yeah, she is.
Yeah.
So she went to Long's looking for something to buy for $2.50. Nothing.
Nothing.
No. She ended up going to Michael's and did find something that was $3.
That's close enough.
But it was pretty nice. But yeah, but it was funny because she was learning about money.
I think that's really great.
You can't buy anything at Long's for... Long's is a local drugstore. I don't know if that's a...
They have them in other places.
Really? They do?
I think so.
Like Walgreens.
Yeah. It's your local chain. What do you do, on the Tooth Fairy, sometimes we were a little lax. I'm trying to think. Mm-hmm. See, that's the problem. We would just kind of, if you didn't, you have to have, I wanted to give them silver dollars, really shiny, but you had to plan that ahead of time.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what we were trying to do. Those gold dollars. Are they Susan B. Anthony's or what?
No,
there's somebody else on the gold.
Sacagawea
dollars.
Yeah.
They're beautiful. And we wanted to do those, but we never have them. And all we had was like 20s.
Yeah.
And then one time.
Kids got an iPod every time they left.
One time I completely forgot. And it's like, oh my God, I completely forgot. So I think Henry said, where's my, I didn't get any. And so I went up and said, well, let's look. And I like crumpled up a 20 and threw it. I don't know where it is. Where do you think it is? And I threw it. I'm a terrible father.
I don't know. I mean, people would disagree with you. I'm the terrible one that she only got $250 a tooth.
You just did really good parenting. You gave her a specific amount. You did the spend and give, which is perfect. And did she do the global giving for the giving?
No, she didn't.
What's she going to do for the other $250?
The other $250 she just saved and she wasn't asking.
Because she didn't do a third, so she spend and save.
Yeah, she's been asking when she can spend the rest. And then I was saying, you know, we need to figure out a way for you to earn some more money.
Because you can't go to Long's anymore.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I think the Sacagawea dollar is perfect. It's a dollar. It's not a lot. So you gave more.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, I think for little kids, that dollar.
Yeah.
There's something about that.
But with the first Tooth Fairy experience, I think you do get a little leeway. Like, at first we were like, oh, I don't want to do money at all. Let's just say make a wish when you lose your tooth. But then, so in the morning she was like, my wish didn't come true.
Oh, boy.
We had no idea what the wish was. I mean,
you got to learn. There's a learning curve.
Yeah.
Oh, a wish. Oh,
right. Shoot.
You got to write it down and we'll help you write it down. And then mommy will burn it.
Right. Yeah. So exactly. It took about a week for her to actually, for the Tooth Fairy to come. But she didn't notice, you know, to her, like, this is her first Tooth Fairy experience.
Oh,
so it took
so
a week.
So exciting. And there's little pouches and stuff
My mom made her a pillow and she brought over this little envelope that was from when I was little that my dad had written
goodness.
A poem on.
Oh, my goodness.
About how I lost my tooth and took it away and got this.
And now I have some money today.
Yeah, something like that.
I'm giving it to poor people, a third each way, and then I'm going to Long's.
to buy some piece of plastic garbage.
Hey, we're gonna continue with our picks and our Audible pick in just a little bit. We've got a good book. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a Tooth Fairy book. I wonder if they have it on Audible. Have you seen that Tooth Fairy book? It's kind of a little creepy because it's like what she does with the teeth. And she like builds this whole town of tooth.
That is creepy.
Tooth material.
Is it intended? Is it like by William Steig?
It's kind of like that. Yeah. It's like a little, maybe it's a little too adult.
What does she do with the teeth? That's interesting.
Yeah. Don't you think kids want to know that?
I don't know. But we are going to have our Audible pick. But first we're going to talk to Dana Lash.
Yes.
Of Momologues.
Momologues.
Dana is a writer, a broadcaster.
So she has like
blogger.
A national radio show?
I think it is.
Is it on homeschooling?
It's The Dana Show, and it's on the Fox Radio Network.
Yeah, that sounds like a national show.
Yeah, it's about whatever she wants to talk about, I think.
Wow.
And so we're excited to welcome Dana.
So you have a national radio show, too?
No, actually, it's local right now. So it's there's discussion of making it national, but for right now, it's just for the St. Louis area.
And do you talk about homeschooling on it, or just a variety of parenting topics, or...
I talk about pretty much everything. They have given me just full run, which is sweet because I don't, I don't have to just like discuss like pop culture or just discuss politics or limit it to homeschooling. I can just have, you know, my choice of whatever topic I want to talk about. So I do discuss homeschooling on it quite a bit, especially when any kind of legislation or if anything comes up.
Like that California court case. I'm sure you talked about that a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I went full hog on that. That was crazy.
We should just mention, we talked about it on the show, but a judge decided for kind of freelancing, because it really wasn't necessary for the case, decided that he was going to require that homeschooling parents had to have teaching credentials. That seems kind of a little onerous, frankly.
Well, it is, and what they had decided was that you have to have teaching credentials, and it's just not any old credentials. Now, you can only have them for the state of California. So if you were credentialed in Arizona and, you know, you taught and you came to California and wanted to homeschool, they still wouldn't let you. Even though you had a credential in another state, it had to be California teaching credentials. And it seems to me that they are overlooking the point. If the point is academic success, then by and large, like you can just Google any study, homeschoolers have proven that it is academically successful, and it is a very valid and you know, good choice of alternative education if, you know, state education isn't your thing.
Right.
And it just seems to me less of about academic success and more about just simply control.
So how old are your boys?
I have a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old. It's quite fun.
Yeah. And what was it that got you homeschooling?
Really, that's an awesome question because it's sort of changed. When I first got pregnant with my 7-year-old, I knew that I had an idea to do homeschooling, but I'm completely anal retentive, and I wanted to do as much research about it as I could to make sure it was the best choice for us. And I was motivated because I think that every kid, when they come into the world, that they just, and not really kids, really everybody, every person has a gift, I think. They have an ability that they excel at. They have this thing that they do, whatever it is. And I think as a parent, that it's my job to recognize that in my kid and to nurture it and encourage them to use that ability just for the benefit of society as a whole. So that was the thing that really motivated me. Plus, I'm just really unhappy with the state of education right now in the country, and I don't like how the government runs it. I don't particularly like how the government runs anything from the post office to the DMV. They're not doing such an awesome job. And in our area, in St. Louis City where I live, our school district lost its accreditation because of corruption and just people being greedy. Mm. So there were a lot of motivating factors, but that one, just, you know, finding out, you know, the abilities that my kids have, and just, you know, if one of them is, you know, likes music and wants to, you know, play piano all the time, or if one of them likes art or anything or sports, it doesn't really matter. Just, I want to encourage that as much as possible, and I don't think that they really get that opportunity as much in a traditional school environment because there's so much administrative stuff going on.
So do you have a lot of friends that also homeschool their kids?
No, actually. I made a lot of friends after we joined a great big homeschool group here in St. Louis. There's actually several in the area, and our group has about 800 families in it. And we've made a lot of friends within that group. But when we made this decision, initially, we did not know anybody that homeschooled, and our families thought we were crazy.
Well, your kids are pretty young. I mean, I think a lot of times people choose homeschool later.
Yeah.
Have your kids ever been in a public school?
Not in a public school. I mean, they've gone to, like, my 7-year-old went to, like, this once-a-week preschool thing that he did. But no, not like a regular public school. They've never attended class.
Do you worry about them getting socialized at all? I mean, I'm the first to say that schools aren't the greatest for education, but one of the things you do get out of school is an education about other kids and being with other kids.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, what would you define socialization as? I mean, I look at it as being able to talk to anyone of any religion, any ethnicity, any age, and being able to hold a conversation with them, get on with them. I kind of question the sanity of people who are like, oh, well, successful socialization comes with being in a classroom of only people your own age.
That's a good point. That is in exactly a broad variety. At the same time, you do have to learn how to work with people that weren't, you know, chosen to. It's like having a sibling. You know, when you have a sibling, it doesn't matter. You got to make it work. And having, you know, I admit 30 kids in a classroom is crazy, but having 29 other kids that you've got to find a way to make it work with is going to be a valuable discipline, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Learning the pecking order and
I mean, it's not pleasant. I'm not saying that, you know.
It's a valuable skill. I mean, you do have to learn to work with other people. And the problem that I have found, because when I first started homeschooling, I thought, too, I was like, how am I going to keep my kids socialized?
Right.
How am I going to, how is he going to have friends? How is he going to do this? The cool thing about it is homeschooling now is becoming so popular and so many families are choosing it. Honestly, if I wanted to, I could take my kids out and do a group activity like multiple times every single day of the week.
Right.
There is so much going on, and they have play groups. They have classes, too. And this is also interesting. My 7-year-old, he took a Spanish class where he was in a traditional classroom setting, at a different location, and he had a Spanish class, an art class. They actually have physical education courses, which I think is really cool because his gym teacher is the typical cranky, you know, gym teacher that
you need to have a Mr. Woodcock in your life. I think that's
and
really
he totally cool. has one. I yeah. thought that was so great. I'm like, yeah. oh, he gets to have that too. And his art teacher is the crazy zany lady, and she's, you know, she loves kids and she's very colorful. So he gets to have those experiences as well. And he sits with other kids and he, you know, learns to wait his turn and to raise his hand, which are things that I make him do at home anyway.
You try to get a real classroom environment then when you teach.
Yeah, I tried to make sure that he has every experience that he can.
Interesting.
And definitely make sure that he, and not so much a classroom experience, but I look at it more of making sure that, you know, he's able to work with other kids
right.
in a sort of restrictive environment, if that makes any sense.
Right, right. I my biggest complaint or issue would be, boy, what a lot of work. I mean, you're not only mommy, you're teacher.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, it is and it's not a lot of work. I know moms who take their curriculum and they build it themselves and they research everything. And I do not have enough brass to do that. And nor do I have the patience to do that. I like to get a pre-order. I order a curriculum that is just completely manufactured and it has their entire needs met. I mean, it gives you, it's just like, you know, a lesson plan book or any other regular teacher's book that, you know, a public school teacher would have. I get an entire curriculum that's like that. So I'll have a day's lesson completely planned out and every one of their academic needs are met throughout the course of the school year.
So where do you order
that? That's awesome. And there's a ton of companies that do that.
Where do you order it from?
I really like Usborne Books. I think those are really cool. I like Abeka, which is, I think they have a really strong advanced English phonics program, and they have a really advanced math program. But Usborne Books are just absolutely fantastic for things like science and history. And, I mean, they have these awesome, colorful pages, and it's nothing like the books that I had in school. I would have probably cut my nose on them more. Especially in the science book. I was a total English major, so the science stuff didn't really interest me all that much. But, they have amazing books and amazing content, and some really cool people put these together, and the kids love them.
I mean, I think it seems like it would be a natural. You'd have a better education because your parents are going to put more attention into it. I'm not crazy about the teach to the test we've got going on right now in the...
Yeah, me neither.
No kids left behind or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly.
And but at the same time, I also worry that our public schools, if all the parents who have the means and motivation to do this pull their kids out, this is that same argument about sending kids to private school. Mm-hmm. What happens?
Oh, yeah.
What happens to the public schools?
I think in order for you can't really blame the parents, really. And I think, I mean, if we're going to go toe to toe with how the government runs things, the government, I think, needs to make the move first. They have to really crack down on all this corruption that's going on. Like, within our district, I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars were being stolen from the kids in my school district.
That's just awful.
And, yeah, and they were being used, like, for down payments on houses. And, I mean, it was just crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, until the government does anything about that, there's nothing that parents can do, honestly. You can throw as much money at the situation as you want. It's not going to fix anything
until
some serious overhauling happens.
Yeah. I think we've all had the experience of meeting a homeschooled kid who is just amazing, you know, and accomplished and polished and graceful socially. You know, that seems to be more the norm than anything else.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of really cool homeschool kids out there.
Yeah.
And there's a big stereotype that, I don't know, I guess we're all Amish and we sacrifice animals and stuff like that. I mean, it's...
Well, but there are two groups that do homeschooling. There's also people who do it for religious reasons.
Yeah.
And,
well, I mean, there's tons of different reasons. Our homeschool group, there are... oh, my gosh, we have Wiccans in our group even. And
there are people who think that the schools are ungodly and want their kids to be homeschooled for that reason. I worry a little bit more because in that case, because those kids are going to get a much more narrow education, really, aren't they?
Well, Well, not really. I mean, we're Christian. We go to church and that.
Did you pull your kids out because of school? You felt like they were learning unchristian values in schools, or because you weren't? They weren't going to learn. Well, you didn't pull them out, but keep. But keep them out because of that, or because you felt that they weren't going to get a good education in schools.
Well, I look at it like if you have Christian parents that are doing what they're supposed to be doing at home, they really don't have anything to fear if they send their kid to school. I mean, that's how I look at it. I mean, what they learn at home, that's what they're going to go out into the world with.
No, I think you're right.
If you don't learn it in the house first, then...
You learn your values and your morals and your compass at home.
So, I mean, I don't really, as far as pulling kids out for that reason, I just am not, that's my bag, I guess, for the lack of a better way to say But I know people who have pulled their kids out for that reason.
Right.
And, you know, but they are determined to give their kid a well-rounded education, you know. And I do know families, I won't only met one family that pulled their kids out of school for religious reasons. And I think that, you know, they may get a narrow education, but for every bad homeschooler you have that you run into, for every crackpot, there's, you know, another example on the state.
There are a lot of bad, there are a lot of bad school teachers out there.
I mean, with any big group, you're going to have people like that.
Yeah, there are plenty of bad school teachers out there. And I think my kids have had a few. I've always thought this would be a great thing to do for my kids, but I just, it doesn't seem like something I can do. And I think probably most parents feel the same way. It's just not something that we have time to do.
Yeah. Well, homeschooling is not for everybody. Just like, I mean, for us, it works for us right now. When my kids get to seventh grade, they get to decide if they want
to. Interesting.
Yeah, keep with the home education, or if they want to go to a school that we choose.
Right.
But, I mean, it's not for everybody. Every family has to make, you know, decisions that are the best way for them. But it really, honestly, it is not as hard as I thought it was going to be. Because you have to consider, too, when a kid is in school, there is so much time that is spent on administrative tasks.
Absolutely.
Like standing in line.
Absolutely.
And you have to do your learning in these little blocks of time. Like, this block of time is English, and this block of time is math.
Oh, it's not natural. There's no question about that. Yeah.
And it's really cool because, and another reason why I really like this, and this goes with the whole recognizing the gifts thing, and that is you can really structure up your learning environment any way you want to, and you get to learn how your kid learns.
Right.
And create an environment that suits their learning needs so that they can best maximize their potential. And we like to create in our household a constant learning environment. I don't ever want them to think that they're learning to pass a test or feel like, oh, well, it's 2 o'clock. It's time to do my math homework. I want them to always love to learn and to realize that it's an ongoing process and that it's not something that just stops when you graduate high school or graduate college or whatever.
When I was a kid, I read a lot of John Holt, who was an educator. And and I, you know, of course, I'm in the middle of school doing this, reading this. But his philosophy always was children have a natural curiosity and will naturally inquire and learn about the things that they need to at the time they need to learn. If you get out of the way, in other words, kids will do exactly what they need to do to educate themselves. And I gather he is considered by some to be a father of the homeschool movement.
Oh, yeah. A lot of his ideas are, I think we even use some of his ideas without even really realizing it.
I thought the world of him. When I was a kid, I thought, this is what I want, you know?
Yeah. Holt's really cool. And he's completely right. Kids are, I mean, they're so curious about everything. I mean, for crying out loud, my 3-year-old wants to help do chores around the house. When does that ever happen, you know?
I'm so jealous.
You don't do that when they're 16.
No.
I mean, yeah, he wants to help out. And my son, Liam, I mean, he's speaking Spanish, and he can carry on, albeit limited, but he can actually carry on a sort of conversation with someone in Spanish. And he loves it. He thinks it's really cool. He thinks it's like a privilege. It's a perk of growing up to be able to learn all this stuff. And their minds are just so open, and there's so much stuff you can cram in there. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So what would you suggest to a parent who's considering homeschooling? What would you suggest they do first?
Oh, goodness. I just have to think back on what I did. The first thing, I did research. I was pregnant. I was 8 months pregnant, and I was doing tons of research just to make sure that it was right for me.
And this is something your husband has your husband worked with you and helped you in this as well, I hope?
Yeah, he has. Yeah. He has. He actually studied engineering in school. So where I am,
he does the science,
literature, and that, he completely balances me out.
So you two agreed when you were pregnant that you were going to do this.
I did. And then he was like, okay, well, let's see what all we can find out about it. And we had to be completely honest with ourselves. Like, seriously, how much time can we give to devote to this? Because this is our kids' education. We can't, you know, just mess around with this. And we had to really be honest with how much time we were willing to devote to it. And, I mean, right now, because he's in first grade going into second grade, I mean, I spend probably about an hour and a half, 2 hours, where he would actually sit down and do, like, some flashcards or do some worksheets and stuff like that. And then we have the rest of the day to build on that. And I realize that as he gets older, that is going to increase, that amount of time that he sits down and does stuff. But, I mean, when you're starting out, you have to realize how much time you can devote to it.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure that you have the support of your spouse, because if you don't, it's going to be absolutely impossible. It doesn't really matter so much if your family doesn't agree with it, because ours didn't at first, and I did it anyway, so whatever. But also, you know, if your spouse supports you, it's great to find, which I think is a necessity, to find a good homeschool support group, because the woman who runs ours, our group is called Share, and the lady, Kathy Mullins, who runs ours, is absolutely phenomenal. This woman has been doing it since it was, like, really weird to do, like back in the 70s when people were getting arrested for it and stuff. She is just, like, one of the wisest people I know, and she can point you in the direction of anything that you need to know. And every homeschool group has one of these Kathy-type people. And there's you can get... it's just a great sense of support. They meet regularly. There's, you know, different tutors. There's some homeschool co-ops where, like, I'm horrible in math, so when my kid starts learning algebra, you know, he's going to have to go to some of the classes in our co-op where he can take an algebra class. And maybe I'll do some trade and teach somebody phonics or something. Who knows?
So, but, in some ways, this homeschooling becomes co-op schooling in some ways, doesn't it?
Yeah, in some ways it does. Our group is an unofficial co-op. I mean, we have a big group of people. I mean, it is a nonprofit. And then we have these classes. There's some that are held at the Salvation Army. There's some at the Y, just different facilities that are in our neighborhood. And, I mean, yeah, any class that you want to take, like they junior high school, even elementary classes that you want to take, I mean, they have a calculus class, and they have just crazy stuff, that very advanced stuff that they teach. And more often than not, the people who are teaching are either teachers who actually left the field to homeschool their own kids, or they're, you know, professors from local universities who just think it's cool to pitch in, or they're retired teachers or something. So, but, yeah, definitely, you know, when you're starting out, make sure that you have enough time to devote to it, get the support of your spouse, and definitely join a support group. And there's a ton of books out there. John Holt, anything by John Holt is great to read. There's it's a book by Rhonda Barfield, and it's a profile of 21 families who homeschool. And I think that is one of the best real-life homeschooling books that's on the market, because it shows families with one kid to, like, a frillion kids, and it goes through what a typical day is like for each of these families and the curriculum that they use and how they implement education in their everyday lives. So that's a really good book to read.
So you're speaking at Blogger this year?
Yeah.
Blog her.
What are you speaking about?
I am speaking on the money panel. It's called There's More to Monetization Than Advertising.
Oh.
So that's my panel. It's Saturday afternoon, I think at like 1:30 or
that
something.
That sounds interesting. I think we should go to that.
Yeah. You should. It's very
so what else is there besides advertising?
Yeah. So I started a local advertising network here for just people in social media and blogs in St. Louis, because I've been getting a lot of press releases and emails from companies that want to advertise on my website. And I just thought it would, you know, I'm like, how can I capitalize on this?
Right.
So we banded together, and we have some people that we're working with, and we're going to do a local ad network.
You must have so much energy, Dana. I don't
know. No, I attribute it to Starbucks and green tea. Those are my vices. I am horrible. I'm a coffee junkie. It's awful.
And then when it gets to the end of the day, you just collapse. And we're done.
Yeah, 11 o'clock, and I'm on the floor.
Yeah, it's done. I'm done. Well, very cool. The blog is Mamalogues, MAMALOGUES.com. Mm-hmm. You spelled it right.
Yeah.
If there is a way to spell Mamalogues right, you spelled it right.
Yeah.
And it's not just about homeschooling. In fact, I'm sorry we focus so much on homeschooling.
No, it's about just life and culture and just daily living. I throw up whatever on there. It sort of serves as the germination for the rest of the work that I take out. I had a column that I did, and I did some television commentary and stuff like that. So there's other projects that are going on that are sort of related to that, and then there's some that are not. So it's just a springboard for a lot of stuff. But I really enjoy doing the website, and
it keeps you writing.
Absolutely, and as a writer, you need to be able to do that as often as possible.
Yeah.
Well, you're a great writer, and your photographs are fantastic, too.
Oh
thank you so much, with my little Kodak camera. I know. I have Nikon envy, I should admit that.
Oh, no. I'm a Canon guy. You better not have any Nikon.
Really? Really?
Well, I have to say the new Nikons are really nice.
Oh, yeah, I know. They're sweet. Are you guys going to be going to Blogger?
We were just discussing that. No, not right now.
Megan's too shy to go.
I am too shy to go to meet.
I don't even know what that means. How can you be too shy to go to a convention? I don't understand that.
I've never gone. This is my first time, so I'll either embarrass myself or I'll hide. So we'll see.
I think it'll be fun.
If I sneak in, then I will definitely come find you and say hello.
Yeah, do so, definitely.
Thank you so much, Dana.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was nice talking to you guys.
Wonderful to talk to you.
Yeah.
Take care.
Thanks. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have to have so much energy to do that. I'm feeling like a terrible parent as usual. This show has really done a lot to my self-esteem. I probably, given the education that our kids have ended up, Abby's in a great high school now. Your husband teaches there. It's a wonderful high school. But, the educational environment has been a mixed bag for Henry, somewhat for Abby too, leading up to that.
Well, she's switched schools.
She switched schools a couple of times. We've been looking for schools. And, I just feel like maybe it would have been better had I homeschooled. I was working.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. And I think that that's the situation for most parents.
Yeah.
We don't have the luxury, right?
Yeah. I couldn't do it. I've tried to convince Marco to homeschool our kids.
He could. He's a teacher.
He could, but he doesn't want to.
He'd rather school other people's kids?
Yeah, he would.
There's something to be said. Now, I am really on the fence on this, because there's something to be said for a stranger teaching your kids. There are advantages to that, too. As parents, we are way over-involved in our kids.
Yeah.
Anyway, at least I am. I think modern parents, we're so kid-centric nowadays. We're way over-involved, and it's really good for the kids to have a kind of a less involved third party out there working with them, don't you think?
Well, it sounds like that Dana's kids have a lot of those extra classes and everything.
That's what these become, don't they?
Yeah.
They become, that's why I thought it was more like a co-op.
Right, yeah.
I mean, then it becomes a charter school, and then it becomes a school, and it's like, well, you know, I don't know.
I actually think the schools in Petaluma are pretty good, so...
I don't know.
Really?
You're going into them, so...
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to say they're fantastic.
But you've said nice things about the elementary school.
It is a very good elementary school, and your kids are going to be going to the same one that my kids went to. But what I do see happening, and I think this is No Child Left Behind, is there is a real focus now in all public education on teaching to the test, because your funding relies on test scores.
Right.
And so they've gotten very focused, the curriculum has gotten very focused on... Now, I think this is probably somewhat of the intent of legislators who said we've got, you know, an inconsistent educational policy. If we have a test with a specific curriculum and we test for those items, then kids will at least have a more uniform education. But I think what's happened is that it's been very difficult for teachers, and they haven't been able to do a good job. And on the other side of it also, because the teachers' unions are so strong, sometimes it's hard to get rid of teachers who are not as good.
That's true.
They get seniority and tenure, and they're there forever.
Yeah.
Whereas younger teachers with less seniority, who are better teachers in many cases, not always by any means, but in many cases, aren't going to get the opportunities. There's a lot of, I think there's a lot of structural issues with it.
Yeah, but we have an election coming up, so that might change. I mean, No Child Left Behind might change.
I would suspect that's going to go away, but who knows? You don't know.
Who knows?
The thing is, it's an answer. It's a response to something that is a legitimate issue, which is how do you get the best education for all the kids? Mm-hmm. And so, well, if you make it more uniform and you have certain standards that the schools have to live up to, then all the kids get this kind of standard minimum education.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. It's a tough one.
If you do homeschool your kids, one thing you could use is Audible and Audible Kids.
I think a great place to go. You know, I was talking to the folks when I was in the... we should mention, this is now our commercial.
Here's our
when ad. If you're under 13, you may stop listening. When I was in Newark, I was talking about Audible Kids, and they have a lot of studies, a lot of educators and researchers who are have shown that kids learn to read visually better if they've been listening. They read up, for one thing. And you said that about Annabella. Yeah. She'll read chapter books that she wouldn't be reading by herself.
Right.
They have better vocabularies because of it.
Uh-huh.
It does not, and this would be why one concern, does it discourage them reading real books? And apparently it doesn't.
No.
You find that your kids read as much.
No. Yeah.
Turns them on to books.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, yeah, I definitely think it doesn't stop them from reading. And this, shall I give you my pick?
I'd love to hear your pick.
This is what my 3-year-old boys are loving. The Frog and Toad collection.
I love Frog and Toad. I'm a good Frog and Toad reader.
You are? I love Frog and Toad are the most interesting books.
I'm just curious. Now, Arnold Lobel wrote them. They're weird, aren't they? They're a little strange.
A little weird.
Yeah.
And they're definitely books that help you read. There's something about them. I think they're very simple.
They're first readers.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So I've been reading them to the boys and Annabella, who is 5. And they loved them, so I just, you know, I also then downloaded the Frog and Toad collection.
Aren't they gay, Frog and Toad?
I think they're more of like a odd couple type.
Okay, like Felix and Oscar.
Yeah, because Toad is like, you know,
he's kind of whiny.
And Frog.
I did a real whiny voice for
Do you
want
to do that, or do you want to listen to what Arnold Lobel, because he reads them.
He reads them?
He does.
Well, he's the guy who wrote them.
Yeah, he reads them. And there's sound effects. And I mean, these have been around for a while. I remember these tapes even from when I was little.
Now, this is one collection with, I think, most of the book. It's Frog and Toad Are Friends. Frog and Toad All Year, Frog and Toad Together. Let's play a little bit. This is Arnold Lobel reading Frog and Toad. I can't wait to hear what he does with it. See if it's as good as what I did with it. I didn't have flutes.
Frog looked at Toad's calendar. The November page was still on top. Frog tore off the November page.
Oh, they get sound effects. I didn't have that either.
He tore off the December page. And the January page. The February page.
Well, we don't have to go through all the pages. Yeah, that's great for kids. I can see how that's great for kids.
Right.
It's Frog and Toad is very simple and sweet. And that's what's great about it.
So they have each the individual books that you can get from Audible or Audible Kids. And I think they're like $1.50 or something. But we will give you a free book.
You could get this whole thing for
free. So I would choose this thing. If you're paying and you just want one or two, get the individual. But if you're using your one credit that we're going to give you at audible.com/monkeys or audiblekids.com/jumpingmonkeys.
Well, go to audible.com/monkeys for this one.
Okay.
Because this is on Audible. I'm sure it's on the kids too.
Yeah.
But let's do the Audible thing.
Okay.
So audible.com. So we want to give you one place so that it's not confusing.
Right.
Audible.com.
I would like to confuse you.
/monkeys. Don't let Megan confuse you. Go there now.
But yeah, I just love Frog and Toad.
I do too. And boy, I tell you, having books for your kids to listen to on the next long ride is a great way to entertain them. They can close their eyes. They can listen. They might even fall asleep. Don't you close your eyes and listen and fall asleep. I think people sometimes worry that if you listen to audiobooks, it might make you drowsy. It always was the opposite for me. It kept me entertained and interested, and I was a better driver because of the audiobooks. Audible.com, full of great, 50,000 great titles, hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands of kids' titles. You're going to love it. Your kids are going to love it. Your whole family's going to love it. Get a free book right now. Go to audible.com/monkeys and tell them Megan sent you. Actually, there's no one to tell. You just sign up. But if anybody asks,
tell it to the mountain.
Tell it to the mountain. Megan sent me.
All right. Well, do you remember when we had archivist Allison?
I love
on
archivist Allison.
A few months ago, she is an archivist, a records keeper, professional, and she's
people
a mom.
Asked us. Everybody said, "Where can I? Where's her blog?"
Right.
She doesn't have one.
She didn't, but now she does.
Does she?
She does. It's archivist Allison with one L.
You go, girl. You go, girl. And I have to think we had a little to do with that.
I like to think so. She said she blames me and her husband for forcing herself.
See what I'm saying?
Into the blog world.
Talking about, so her training, she was a librarian, in her, but information science.
Yep.
And she works with companies to keep help them keep their archives up to date. But for us, we have archives too. Photos, drawings, kids' drawings, all sorts of stuff.
Right. So I invited her to come on, and she couldn't actually be with us, so she sent me an audio file, a little
well,
5 minutes
fitting.
With Archivist Allison, and she's starting on the topic of blogs and how to save them.
Archivist Allison, you're on.
Hi, Megan. Hi, Leo. Thanks for having me back on the show, and welcome to the first edition of 5 Minutes with Archivist Allison. Let me take a second here to reintroduce myself to the audience. My name is Allison Langmead. I am an archivist and a records and information manager, which means that I help organizations tend to their information resources, both past and present, active and inactive, which means that I help people access, maintain, and organize the information they need for next week's meeting, as well as the information that they want to preserve for the indefinite future. So, for our first topic, we've decided to tackle the giant question of how to begin to make a digital preservation strategy for a blog. Blogs are everywhere, and they've just been growing and growing and growing since they started proliferating years ago. And they're just used for more reasons than I can count. Personal journals, work journals, baby books, scrapbooks, you name it, blogs are being used for it. And it's only natural then to wonder how we might let these information resources persist into the future in a similar way that we treasure old scrapbooks that are made of paper and photographic paper. We'd like to see our blogs passed down to our grandchildren as evidence of the way we lived or just as an amusement either way. But of course, when you stop and think about it, blogs and, let's just say, personal journals written on paper have certain things in common, to be sure, but they are also really quite different. And the focus of this first segment on blogs should be, therefore, less on the technical aspect of how to save the actual bytes, and more about helping you maybe think about the types of information that go into making your blog, the types of information that make a blog different than an analog scrapbook, or as my husband likes to call them, your anablogs. But so that you can really come up with a preservation strategy that meets your individual goals, because each blogger is going to want to save different things about their blogs. I promise you, blogs are not a monolithic entity, and everyone is different. And in fact, in my opinion, any strategy that you formulate without first assessing precisely what it is about your blog that you find quintessential has a bigger chance of really not meeting the goals that you'll want them to meet in the long term. So there is, of course, the text in your blog, and when you look at your blog, all you see is text, no links, no audio clips, no video clips, nothing that couldn't just be printed out. Let's be honest, print it out. If that's something that you really think is something you can preserve in the long run. The textual aspect of a blog is very similar to a physical scrapbook. But take a scrapbook, for example, in the physical world. Scrapbooks are made up of scraps of things, ticket stubs, scraps of paper, photographs, and those things are important to a scrapbook. But what makes it really a special scrapbook is the way that the scrapbooker put it together, the layout, the care taken in presenting the information. And blogs have this aspect too. It's digital layout, the links in the sidebar, the books that you're reading in the sidebar, the ability even, to be honest, in the digital realm to look at blog posts by category. All these things that really make a blog a digital entity, which are fundamental to a blog and different than a physical scrapbook, should probably be taken into consideration when you decide on a preservation strategy, even if you reject it as unimportant to your needs, which is totally your prerogative, and I'm totally behind you when you decide what you want to decide, provided that it was a proactive, involved decision. So I have made a couple posts on my information resource at archivistallison.com, both with a more long-winded interpretation of the information that I've just set forward here, and also a post that sort of sets out the different types of information that I have seen in blogs over time. And I suggest that anybody interested in learning more about what makes up their blog head over there, not only to read the thoughts that I have on the topic, but also to contribute their ideas and begin to create a community resource on this topic. So thanks, Megan and Leo, again for having me on. I hope this was informative for you guys and your listeners, and I look forward to being back on the show very soon.
Cool. Thank you, Archivist Allison. I think in future we'll have her be on with us, because I think it's more fun to be. I want to ask questions.
Yes.
But that's okay. That's okay. Next time.
So it's archivistallison.com.
I'm so glad she has a blog. That's really good.
Yes. Yeah. And so, I'm going to have to convince her to come on the show.
Sometime. She probably has something like a job.
She does have a job.
Something that like mm-hmm. that would get in the way.
And she doesn't want to use the job's resources.
Oh, she's like ethical and she has a job. Wow. So, we don't meet many people like that.
Yeah, but we'll figure out a way. So now is the time.
We'll get rid of her ethics.
Yeah. No, now that I've announced that she's at her
problem.
Job. Now I've got some emails and I think we've got some calls.
We have
too.
A lot of them. Yeah.
A mom in New York City.
A mom in New York City writes.
And withholding her name because this is a tough one. I love to listen to your podcast and would love your help with an older teen problem. My 19-year-old child finished the first year of college and did well the first semester, and the midterm grades were all B's for the second semester, then did not do well on the final exams or the second half of the semester. This resulted in losing a large scholarship. The poor grades were attributed to taking 6 courses, becoming ill, although this was early in the semester, starting to work a couple of nights, and problems with a new relationship. We have attempted to appeal the scholarship to no avail, and it looks like it will be lost for the rest of the college years. I want my child to understand how serious this is, but don't want to push so hard that anyone would go over the edge. The child is, for the most part, paying her own way, although we provide as much as we can. Any thoughts on how to deal with my child? Do you have any advice on showing the college that this is a kid who deserves a second chance?
Well, I think, first of all, the college knows that the kid deserves a second chance, I'm sure. This is my story, by the way, as a college kid, so I understand it very well. I think I would bet you anything that your daughter knows and feels terrible about it. And I don't think there's any need to belabor it with her. In fact, you might ask her how she feels about it. Mm-hmm. It's tough. It's tough that when you remember when you first went to college, it's mm-hmm. It is a whole new world. It's hard to adjust to. Nobody's telling you to go to school.
Yeah. At Johns Hopkins, actually, your whole first semester was pass-fail.
It ought to be.
You didn't have grades.
It ought to be, because it's very tough. I had a very difficult time. Fell in with a bad crowd, and I ended up dropping out after 2.5 years just because, I would start with 5 classes and drop down to 4 each year. I couldn't keep up each semester. Couldn't keep up. And a lot of it was socializing, having a good time, partying. A lot of it was just adjusting. I was very young. It's a difficult time, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's not the end of the world if maybe she takes some time off. It's a tough thing. I would say at this point is not the time to bear down on her.
Uh-huh.
She knows, and that's a tough thing for her. She may act like she doesn't care. It's a big deal.
What did your parents do?
My parents, and this is something I am not good at, were very laissez-faire all through my whole childhood. They said, we just want you to be happy. No matter what you do, if you go to college, if you don't, whatever job you get, we just want you to be happy. They didn't pay, they didn't, there was no, you're getting, which is hard for me to do. You're getting a bad grade. I mean, Henry comes home with bad grades. I yell at him.
Yeah.
I plead with him. I beg him. I bribe him. Do whatever I can to get him to bring his grades up. It doesn't work. My parents never did that with me, and I got good grades. And maybe it's because I wasn't under pressure. I don't know. What did your parents do? It's a tough one.
My parents were also laissez-faire. Yeah. They were big into the whatever.
And you and I did excelled.
Yeah.
Despite that.
Yeah.
Or maybe because of it.
Yeah. Who knows?
That's my dad thinks that. My dad, I asked my dad, I talked to him quite a bit. We went on a cruise a couple of years ago. and I had some time. And he said, no, that was intentional. I said, did you just not care or what? He said, no, it was very conscious.
Yeah.
We really wanted it to come from you. We didn't want the motivation come from us.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe what we've done wrong with our kids is we haven't let them have their own motivation. Mm-hmm. We've given them all. But it's interesting because Abby struggled in junior high and has gotten motivated on her own in high school and has turned it around.
Yeah.
And is a straight A student
yeah.
now. And is working very hard and has done very well. And I'm hoping Henry will have that yeah. same kind of experience.
My parents did send me to private school for high school after yeah. I started getting in trouble.
There you go.
Before.
Well, so they cared a little bit.
They did care.
They cared
a
more
lot.
Than you admit. So to our correspondent and our mom in New York, I mean, I'm sympathetic. I know mm-hmm. that's
that
tough.
And
it may be that you can't keep going to school because you lost that scholarship. That's mm-hmm. a life lesson. But you know, here's the other side of it. You want to go to the best schools and everything, but you know what? You can get a great education for free or for very low cost in a lot of places mm-hmm. now. You don't have to go to that best school. You can go to a city college, a community college. You can learn on the internet. You can go to the library and just read. If you want to get an education in this country, and I think in most places you can.
Yeah.
You really
Maybe
can.
Dana could homeschool.
Yeah. Invite. Can you take a teenager? Dana, just take another person in.
But right. what you said about taking a year off, that is also, I think, a good, you know, you don't necessarily need to go to college right after you graduate from high school, even though everyone thinks
that's the
that
big
you do.
Thing now. They call it the gap year.
Yeah.
And Abby, and my daughter, who's going into junior year in high school, is planning on a gap year. We're not talking about it. I'm going to let her decide one way or the other. But I think it's a good idea. I wish I had taken a gap year.
Yeah.
I was too young. Yeah. So here's a call from our Grand Central number from Frederick, Maryland.
Hello, Leo, Megan. This is Jason from Maryland, near Frederick, Maryland. I just had a quick question for Leo. My kids love watching movies all the time. I get tired of fussing around with the DVDs, and I'm to the point now where I think I'm going to buy a Mac Mini and turn it into a home theater or media center. I was wondering if we could get your thoughts on what you've done with yours, or if you've already covered that somewhere else, could you tell me where that is? Thank you very much. If you want to contact me.
I'll stop that because I don't want to put that out on the show. But I'll tell you right now, you know, we've got one right over here, Megan. You're looking at it. And there are a couple of things you can do. If you want to get television channels coming into it and then use it as a TiVo, I highly recommend the iTV from Elgato, ELGATO. Mm-hmm. I have the HD250. So you're looking at a Macintosh right now, Megan. But you could see it's got a television window that can go full screen. In fact, I'll use the remote and make it go full screen. So it's just like a real TV. But I can also press the record button and record. And so all of a sudden, I could be watching recordings of, you know, this is just like a TiVo. In fact, I can even pause and go and rewind through the stuff that we have been watching, even though we haven't been recording. So it has all the TiVo features, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's if you're looking for a media center that is a TV, you know, TV viewing media center. If all you're doing, and this is what we do at home, the funny thing is at home, we don't have we don't really have the cable connection or care that much about the cable connection. So at home, we buy our shows on iTunes. If you have DVDs already, I use Handbrake, a great program. And Visual Hub, another great program, two programs, both of which you should probably have. Handbrake will convert the DVD so that you could put it on your Mac and watch it. There's a great program called Xbox Media Center that is, yes, available for the Mac, XBMC. And that will give you the chance to put content on your Mac and watch it with a remote control. The Mac remote control is quite good for that. So I think a Mini is a very good choice. But we use it here in the studio, and I think it's really nice because we can always have you know, the news channels going on in the background. I every radio station I ever have been in my life always has the news stations going on in the background.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that is good advice because it's annoying to have all the DVDs and they get scratched and
especially for little kids,
yeah.
You don't want that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is kind of nice because this is a high def TV and the HD250 that we're using actually is a high def tuner from Elgato. ELGATO.com.
Yeah. Yeah, we have the same problem with all of our Audible CDs. I'm getting really annoyed by how many CDs.
You're burning them?
Yeah, we're burning them because I'm just not ready for Annabella to have an iPod.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know,
I don't
and
blame you.
Next week actually we're going to talk about an MP3 player for kids.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Is saliva proof for one.
Well, you have a moisture problem.
I do have a moisture problem.
And with your iPods.
With my iPods.
Yeah. So it's probably good to find one that is moisture proof of all kinds of moisture.
Yeah, but I mean, we have, I mean, Annabella has like, I don't know, maybe 50 CDs at this point because the books she's reading, listening to are longer and longer. I mean, you get a 4-hour book that's, you know, 4 CDs.
Right, right.
And it would be nicer for her to have an iPod, but I just don't think she's ready. At five, not yet ready. All right, so are you ready for a little bit of criticism?
Okay, let me put my little criticism helmet on.
Okay, you got it on? This is from John. He says, could you tell Leo to stop bragging about how small your town is? I know that compared to Southern California, or San Francisco, 60,000 people is smallish, but it isn't really.
It's not small.
We do talk about, and you know what? Petaluma is interesting because it's kind of split down the middle, and so that it feels even smaller.
Yeah.
It does, because like the place where you can walk around is,
there's an east side and a west side, and the east side is the commuter side, and we don't ever see those people. It's their housing tracts. We don't talk to those people. So we're in the old part of town.
I have friends that live over there.
I do too.
We go there all the time. But when we see them, they're walking around the west side.
Yeah, this little part.
They're the people that do spend the time on the west side.
The little part is really about a town of 20,000. Yeah. I know that's not that small. I know there are far smaller towns. I only mean that when you're in a smaller town, not necessarily a small town, your kids don't get away with murder as much, right? Because everybody knows them when they're walking around downtown. And that's great.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I won't. No more bragging.
Play another.
No more bragging about my little town. My little town. People grew up in. Here's another
my
call.
Hometown.
My hometown.
Hey, Megan and Leo. This is Neil from Stamford, Connecticut. How to start by saying I love everything that you all are doing. Leo, of course, as everyone else, I've been listening to you for many years, and I've loved you on Tech TV. That's actually the only reason why I actually purchased DirecTV years ago.
Wow,
and once it was gone, I no longer had DirecTV. Anyway.
Me too, by the way.
I definitely want to appreciate your show.
Thank you.
And I'm actually right now catching up on number 46. I wanted to also say that I agree with, the dad gone mad. And, parenting teens is something that's definitely big for me. I have a 12-year-old, a 15-year-old, and a 19-year-old.
Oh, boy.
So I definitely understand all different things, especially from the show 44, Why Kids Lie. I understand that.
They're all boys.
I can't have a girl.
Do you think boys lie more than girls?
I don't know. I think sometimes girls have more to lie about.
Maybe.
On Earth. Anyway, one thing that I would like to actually say is if anyone is interested and would like to join me, I'm actually writing a book for males since I have the boys. I'm writing what I'm calling a male manual. So it's something pretty much for parents to be able to learn how to raise a boy, so to speak.
Wow.
So it's something where they would look at from when they're born, all the injections they need, any special needs for boys specifically, all the way up until they're 25 and they can hand the book off to the boy, and I'm teaching them chivalry and things along that line. So I'm looking for, co-writers if possible. I've been doing research for the last, 2.5 years. But I think with the society we live in now, it's something that's needed.
Yes.
But anyway, again, I appreciate the show. I appreciate everything that you all are doing, and I love it. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Well, that's really nice. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I think boys are different than girls. I mean, girls are different than boys, too. But I think there are unique challenges on both sides. You'll see. Mm-hmm. You got one and two of the other.
Mm-hmm. I'll find out.
Henry's been a real challenge lately. I think teenagers are tough in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was he always more challenging than Abby?
No, I think he was a very easy. No, actually, he was very easy until recently. Yeah. And Abby's not, it's not like Abby's easy either.
Yeah.
She's challenging in her own way. We're sad. She's going to be leaving. We got two more months with her, and she's going to be leaving for France for 9 months. I'll be sharing that experience with you and what that's been like.
She's got to do a podcast from France.
She wants to do a podcast, but maybe she should wait till she comes back. She could do one in French. I told her if you did a French podcast, you'd do very well, I think.
Yeah. We should have her on before she goes.
You want to do that and talk about, what's going on? Maybe when she gets back, we could find out how that was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have an email from Robin from Kettering, Ohio. She had some criticisms of Dr. Mike and the cry it out theory. She says, sure, your baby will eventually fall asleep. However, you must realize that these patterns are sleep patterns that are then established throughout childhood and on to adulthood.
Hmm.
You've talked about how important sleep is with other podcast interviewees, so this is the utmost importance. A lot of kids who have learned to self-soothe by crying have difficulty later on, especially when they are mobile and out of the crib. What happens when the toddler decides she doesn't want to take a nap or she throws a tantrum? Hasn't she been taught that crying is the way to go to sleep? I know several moms with toddlers with sleep problems, all who are proponents of the cry-it-out school of thought. We all have to do what works best for us, but there are consequences and rewards for everything. Needless to say, my son has never cried himself to sleep. I got up with him almost at least once a night, the first 13 months of his life until he was weaned. He sleeps like a champ now, goes to bed and naps fully awake, and goes to sleep on his own until morning. It was a long 14 months, but he is 26 months now, and it has been worth it.
Well, when do you normally start doing the...
I don't know. I mean, different.
I don't think it's that early, is it?
I don't. You know, we had a book that worked really well with Annabella, Healthy Sleep Habits, Happy Child, and it was sort of middle of the road.
As usual, all this changes all
right.
the time.
And then it worked. And then it worked okay with her. And then with the boys, I think with twins, it suggested having them cry it out at like 3 weeks or something, which was
too
early
young,
for
yeah.
us. But I mean, our kids, our boys cried because sometimes you just couldn't get to both
of
them, you know? So I don't know. And they are not good sleepers. So I don't know what I'm with you. First of all, I don't really remember what we did, but like
right.
we never could do the cry it out because
no.
it was too painful.
It's painful.
You know,
yeah.
you look at your watch, it seems like it's been
right.
3 days and it's been yeah. 5 minutes, you know?
I think anything that's unnatural. You know, you feel like this is not natural.
Yeah.
It's probably not natural.
I guess so. But, you know, you every know? Kid is different. And I
and
think...
And that's right, too.
Yeah.
And these things are all fads. And they come mm-hmm. and go. You know, I was raised in the Dr. Spock era, in Benjamin Spock. And that was a whole different kind of parenting than my parents had been raised in. And
yeah.
I'm sure that, you know, we're a different generation. We're doing it something differently. And it's so funny how all mm-hmm. this, you know, there's so much theory goes into it.
It is.
What did people do before there were books and bookstores and... Dr. Phil and self-help.
I don't know what people did.
They just did it. They did
yeah.
what came. They would do what came natural
yeah.
and it would work.
Yeah.
So I don't think you could do as much to hurt kids as you might think.
Yeah.
Maybe you could do more, maybe less. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, I think that's about it for today's episode of Jumping Monkeys, Parenting in the Digital Age with Leo Laporte and Megan Maroney.
As we have learned, a challenge for everyone in
yes.
every age. But we do thank you for being here. We thank our guests. We had some great ones. Mm-hmm. And all our callers, don't forget, if you want to call us, we have a Grand Central number. That means you just call and leave a message. Megan will answer and
mm-hmm.
you just... Leave a message. It's 707. It's not toll-free, by the way. It's a long-distance call to Petaluma. 1-707-981-4602. You could also record it and email it to Megan at twit.tv.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And next week, we're going to talk to Kate about car seat safety.
Yes. Yes, we are.
So
that's very important.
Come back next week.
We'll see you next time.
On Jumping Monkey.
Bye-bye.